Okay, we're here with James Gardner again, running for the mayor of the city of Buffalo. And we're going to talk about education. And so I came to that topic because one of the things I've been asked about frequently since I started doing these things is people asking me what the candidates' positions were on education. And I said, well, I don't know. So let's make that a topic. And so I want to, you know, do this like I've done it before and kind of have you kind of explain the system and I'll kind of outlay the way, you know, lay out how I see it. So there is definitely a public perception here that our schools are both a disaster, but also that the system is essentially hopeless. For example, we had a superintendent here for years who lived in Florida while running the Buffalo public school system. One of the reasons why I think it's important, aside from educating our kids, is that it does have an oversized impact on a community in its ability to bring business, bring talent to a city, and create economic growth. And so the school system and I think the public amenities are things that really, you know, are other things that contribute to a business deciding to move to a community. So I'd like you to explain the school system here. Who runs it? How is it paid for? And is it or is it not true that basically what we've heard is that the mayor can't do anything about it, so what's the point in discussing it?
Sure. So, I mean, I would agree with the fact that the public school system in the city of Buffalo has a pretty tough reputation. I don't know that you don't find very many people moving to Buffalo for the public schools. You see people who move out of Buffalo because young families moving out of the city of Buffalo because they don't want their kids to go to Buffalo public schools, which is unfortunate. I think their reputation and maybe their the results sort of are a source of the out-migration that happens to the surrounding suburbs because of that, which is something why I think it absolutely needs to be addressed. The Buffalo public schools obviously is a separate entity from the mayor's office. They have their own superintendent. They have the Board of Ed, which is essentially their legislative body that reviews their budget, so on and so forth. And the Buffalo Public School System has a budget that's about $1.3 billion, which is twice that of the city of Buffalo's. So, and that budget, when you bake into it, that doesn't necessarily reflect the true cost of it. Actually exaggerates the cost of what per pupil expenditures are, because that takes into consideration building aid, cafeteria stuff, everything. When you break down the per pupil funding of a Buffalo public school student, it's about $34,000 a year. So that's what the New York State Education Department has determined is the amount of money per pupil that the Buffalo public school system gets. There are approximately 27,000 Buffalo public school students that are being educated by the public school system. But before, I don't want to dunk or criticize the public school system unnecessarily, because I do think we have to first acknowledge that they deal with a tremendously difficult, challenging, vulnerable population. You know, we're the third poorest city in America. We lead the nation in childhood poverty. All of these things make it very difficult for teachers, principals, and a school district to educate their kids. But there's a lot of room to improve there, I believe. Specifically, when you look at that $34,000 per pupil expenditure, that is less than, or about half of that actually makes it to the classroom. So that is, I think, a shocking statistic, because the hope of every parent who sends their kid to a public school is that New York State spends a tremendous amount of money of our tax dollars on education, and the fact that in the Buffalo Public Schools, about half or roughly half of that funding makes it to the classroom. The rest of it goes somewhere else, and that I think is very disappointing to learn. And as mayor of Buffalo, it would be my ambition to work with the Buffalo Public Schools in order to improve that statistic markedly. And the city has some leverage here in the form of 37% of your property tax dollars get sent to the Buffalo Public Schools. So the highest amount of money, or the most money that the Buffalo Public Schools get, comes from New York State. It's one of the big five school districts, which means that they get a direct funding from New York State. They don't have to raise school taxes the way that surrounding municipalities do. They just get money from New York State. But still, your property taxes, the city of Buffalo writes a check every year for $70 million to the Buffalo Public School System for their budget. So that is something, and believe me, the Buffalo Public School System, not unlike the city of Buffalo, is going to be up against a budget problem. They did what the city did, which was when the COVID funds came in, they hired a whole bunch of people, and now the money's gone. And so they have some very difficult choices ahead of them. And I'm not here to say that, you know, I want to exacerbate that difficulty in any way. But what I do think, as mayor, we need, it's not just the superintendent that has to make their voice heard about how the direction of the Buffalo Public School System. I think the mayor has an obligation to also weigh in on how, and this is everybody in politics locally, you know, for years, Byron Brown, nobody, he never said anything about Buffalo Public Schools because why borrow trouble? Mm-hmm. But it is that important when we're trying to build this city, when you're trying to retain families who are here and you're trying to make this a community that is going to start growing again, schools are vitally important to that. And to pretend that they're not, I think, is ignorant, and you're just going to perpetuate what's happened over the past few decades, which is no one seems to be minding the store over there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I certainly see this in real estate, where you have families that, you know, they want to get their kid into Olmsted, and then the city honors track, they don't get that, they're gone, right? And so I'm curious, you know, certainly, you know, I think we should be clear, like, there's, you know, the whole system, the system being flawed doesn't mean all the people are flawed. And so there's some really good teachers in the city of Buffalo. We know some of them personally. And there's also some good schools.
Absolutely.
So is there a disparity even within that budget of how much, let's say, one of the quote-unquote good schools gets?
Well, so, I mean, that's a great question. I don't know. I can't speak with a tremendous amount of authority on how the Buffalo Public Schools internally allocates funds. My guess is there isn't a, I would imagine that it's fairly equal, but you can see, and this is my whole platform here, is we want to make sure that we're supportive, that the mayor's office, that city government is supportive of all high performing schools. I don't begrudge the fact that City Honors is a fantastic school. That's excellent. And the fact that they have, you know, sort of a parent-teacher organization or sort of an outside fundraising arm that helps support that school, that's phenomenal. I wish all public schools had that. And the same goes for Olmsted. It's great that those schools are in high demand. I hear the same thing about North Park. You know, North Park is a community school. People love, the residents around there love the fact that they can, that their children are going to school with their neighbors. And that is their neighbors' kids. And I think that's fantastic. Those are concepts that, you know, we have to embrace. Maybe we need to emulate and expand on. But the Buffalo Public School System has a tremendous opportunity here. Through no fault of their own, a lot of these Catholic schools, you know, because a lot of these Catholic schools are closing. There's been, because of all the legal trouble that the diocese is in, you hear about all of these, the Catholic local elementary schools who are shuttering. And those schools played a very important role in the educational ecosystem of the city of Buffalo. And that provided parents with choices. They could live in Buffalo, but they could still send their kids to another, to a religious school, a Catholic school. Private schools play a part in this also, because they play a part in making sure that parents who are here, who live in the city of Buffalo, have choices. Charter schools, I think, are increasingly popular. I worked with them, with a group of them, when I first moved back to Buffalo. I think they are, I know they're controversial in the sense that a lot of people see them as sort of not the enemy, but they see them as more of a hindrance than a help, because they take 2/3 of the per pupil funding for a public school, for a child. When a kid goes to a charter school, 2/3 of that funding follows the kid to the charter school, leaving that third of the funding with a traditional public school. A lot of people think that that's quote unquote creaming, where the Buffalo Public Schools is losing self-motivated children or parents who are engaged. They're going to these other schools, leaving behind a more challenging or vulnerable population. But I think you have to have all of those options available. Trade schools is another one. We don't have a very, with our manufacturing history and the rays of AI and all of these other challenges that are going to come for employment in, copy editors and things like that, AI isn't coming for somebody who knows how to work in heating or cooling or engine repair or an electrician or a plumber. Those are high paying, high demand jobs. And I don't know that we're doing enough as a public school system to make sure that we have, that we're encouraging and supporting kids who make that decision. So it's all of it. We have to have, as mayor, my whole approach to this is we need all high performing schools. A wide array of them, because that's what parents demand. And if they don't get it, parents will vote with their feet and leave the city of Buffalo. And certainly when it comes to the Buffalo public school system, I want to work very closely and with great enthusiasm with the superintendent to try and address some of the chronic problems that the Buffalo public school system has. And I want to make sure that we're taking some of the buildings that they're closing, the schools that they're closing, that we're finding proper reuse for those buildings. I don't know whether you've ever been by School 44, I think it's 40, or Academy 44 on Broadway. It's a 3-4-story building, and it's abandoned, and the south side of the building, or the, I guess it's the south west side of the building, all the windows are shattered out, open to the elements. It's this huge building on Broadway. If the Buffalo public school system is going to continue to contract, then we have an obligation to make sure that those buildings don't become centers of blight unto themselves.
Oh, and one of the things, we've both mentioned it, this sort of out-migration of parents that don't get the schools that they want. And the challenge, of course, is that leaves behind a population that can't do that, mm-hmm. right? And so... And so that essentially then just sort of perpetuates this vicious cycle that we're in. And you brought up North Park. We know parents that go there and also have heard great things about that school. Mm-hmm. And that brings up, I am certainly not an expert on the history of the school desegregation and busing and all this, but, I know enough to understand why busing came about. And actually the very, there was real reasons for it that were significant issues. But now we're in the situation where I think more and more parents are looking for that neighborhood school option. And I understand, I just saw a headline and I wish I had printed out and brought it, but I think that the Buffalo Public Schools just signed a contract with First Student for the next several years for something like $470 million or yeah. something like that.
But it's incredibly expensive. It's incredibly expensive, and the reason why community schools are so popular is nobody wants their kid riding a bus for an hour before they get to school, and an hour when they get off of it. It's just out of school. It's just, it's time wasted, and it's, you know, it just, people want to be, correctly so, people want their kids to be, I mean, we have this sort of picture in our head, and I'd love to get back to it, where kids could walk to school, walk to their school. There, I mean, I'm not too far removed from, you know, there were, you know, some of my older siblings, I wasn't a friend of my older siblings. They would walk home for lunch. You know, the schools didn't provide lunch. They actually walked home to them. I mean, that's how these neighborhood schools worked. And I think that's, you know, I don't know in this day and age whether that's feasible completely, but yeah, there's a popularity there, because if you're living in the neighborhood, you like your neighborhood, and chances are you're going to like the people that you're surrounded with, and it's a good environment for your kid to go to school in that environment. Neighbors in Buffalo tend to look after each other. Their kids know each other. That's a great thing. That's something to be fostered. Now, yes, busing, desegregation played an important purpose. No doubt, no question about it. You can't, but we're also, we're trying to solve that problem in the schools, even though as a city, we're deeply segregated. You know, if you look at the, you know, socioeconomic gradient across the city, or the even, you know, the racial breakdown of neighborhoods, it's pretty stark. And that's something that we should always try to work and improve. I think as a city, we work best when we have diverse neighborhoods, not only in terms of race, but also socioeconomics. But we're also forcing kids to accomplish that when adults haven't been able to do it. And the way that we're forcing the kids to do it is through busing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that that's a great use of their time or our resources to make sure that they're on a bus for 90 minutes there and 90 minutes back, 3 hours of their day going across the city to a school when they could go to one right around the corner.
Yeah, and I look at simply that dollar amount and you think about, okay, what is that per pupil and per school, and what if that money, you know, that amount of money went back into the schools, what would that actually do for the schools? And the other thing I can remember, I grew up in a lot of different cities, both in the U.S. and internationally, and I mean, there was only one time where I had a school bus, and I lived in a location where I could either ride the bus or walk, and it was probably a 30-minute walk, but so I would do both. But having the opportunity to actually walk to school meant that I knew the people mm-hmm. around me, right? And so it does create this, it creates a community of both kids and adults, I think, that, just as we talk out loud about it here, I can imagine that would then translate onto the neighborhood itself. Like,
absolutely.
Creating some kind of, bond within that, because if you're taking all those kids and sort of, poof, spreading them all over the city of Buffalo, and then they've got to come back, and where are their friends? Like,
yep. So. Yeah. I mean, yes. I mean, that is, when it works well, that is the goal, right? It provides, it provides greater social cohesion across neighborhoods. It puts more, you know, people, everyone loves the idea of people walking to school. It's good for them. It's all around, I think it's a positive. The challenge will be, as it always is making sure that those schools that they're walking to are good ones. And as mayor, as I said, I think the key to that is making sure that we're getting as much money into those classrooms, into the teachers, into the books, into the resources in those classrooms as we can, because that's where the dividends pay off. We want kids, you know, the you know, ignorance is the most expensive thing on earth, right? Isn't that a bumper sticker on something I've seen? It is, and it's true. I think if we're serious, New York State always prides itself on the amount of money that it spends on education. But what's the return on that investment? And in the city of Buffalo, I don't think right now you could say that the return is very high. And I think a lot of that is because a lot of that money isn't actually getting into the classroom.
And then I think you brought up, you know, trade schools and programs like that, because, I mean, I think we're finally starting to recognize that there was a huge mistake made in this country, you know, not just in Buffalo. This was nationwide, where we, you know, came up with this idea that every kid should go to college, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what we're slowly coming to realize is that, oh, wait a minute, there's still, like, we still have toilets. Like, people need to fix them. Like, we still have electricity in our walls, and we need people to do that stuff. And there's still dump trucks. Like, all of these trades, and the irony is because we drew people out of them, they're becoming increasingly well-paid.
Right. Oh, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, even if you just looked at the city of Buffalo, you know, we're trying to redevelop some of the most challenging, you know, find new uses for old buildings. And we can't do that without skilled tradespeople. I laugh all the time with, you know, when we have to have our electrician come to our house to fix something. It's like a licensed electrician in the city of Buffalo gives you a license to steal. They can essentially set their own, it feels like they set their own price. And there, you can't tell me that they don't, you know, that isn't an incredibly profitable way to not only make your living, but to support your family. And we've lost it, it feels like. And it's not just, you know, just electricians and plumbers. I mean, you're talking about people who can do plaster work. I mean, any of those trades, that carpentry, anything with you know, a skilled trade, is we need them in the city because of our not only our housing stock, but the buildings that we have here. We're going to need them when I'm elected, because we're going to need to start building homes and building commercial buildings again. There's going to be an incredible demand for it. And as I said, the unemployment lines, it feels like are littered with people who have liberal arts degrees, who, you know, wanted to get into journalism or wanted to get into sort of a liberal art profession. And if you can put it into ChatGPT, it spits it out for you. It'll accomplish a lot of what we used to pay, you know, college educated people to do, and I think that's only going to increase. So I think we missed the boat in the last 2-3 decades in terms of investing in that as a city, and in terms of our education portfolio. I think we need to bring it back. I don't think it serves anybody any good to have these trade schools nestled into different other public schools. I'd love, they used to have Seneca Vocational, used to be just a big trade school where you went, when you went there, you tried it all. Mm-hmm. And that is, I think, a model that's how a lot of other cities do it. And I think we, for one reason or another, moved away from it. I think there's certainly an argument to destigmatize trade schools to the extent that there is one, and two, give kids an opportunity to explore all of it. You know, you don't, whether you're interested in combustion engines or electricity or heating and cooling or plumbing, you should have the availability to do it all at one place, rather than, you know, relocating schools to find the program that you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think, and part of it, this kind of training is not even about, you know, it is about sort of giving people a career path and something to learn. But one of the things that I think that hurts kids that don't learn in the way that our school system says that you're supposed to learn, like, you know, I'm certainly one of them, like, you've got to memorize all these dates and you've got to remember this. Mm-hmm. Like, I was I'm a very hands-on learner. Like, I can learn stuff, but I'm not going to learn stuff. I was terrible at multiple choice tests. Like, and so I think that's an easy way for kids to fall through the cracks when there's just that system to go. But with all of this stuff, like, you know, one of the things that happened in New York City, and maybe you know more about the background behind this, but I believe it was under the Bloomberg administration that he got mayoral control of the school system.
Right.
And so how did that happen? And do you think that that's something that could or should happen here?
It was, again, very controversial. It is something that requires legislative approval. So you have to go to Albany and you have to basically, they have to authorize it. I don't know whether it requires legislation or how exactly the mechanics of how that came to be. But I know it needed to go to Albany, and Bloomberg got it through. And the reason he was able to get it through is a compelling one, which is I'm mayor of the city of New York. Not unlike me being mayor of the city of Buffalo, people are, if they blame the schools, I get all the blame without any ability to fix them. Give me the ability to fix them, and then, you know, the blame will be earned. I think it's a very interesting discussion locally here, because, you know, I know they've moved the school board races are going to be here at the same time that the mayoral election is going to be on. People are running for school board right now, and they moved those onto dates that they regular election dates. They used to happen in June, I think, so they weren't even when you had normal elections. So you have that benefit, but still, you know, the how many people know who the superintendent is? I know we just hired one, a new one. And that person wields a tremendous amount of responsibility and power in the city of Buffalo. And they're only accountable, really, to the members of the Board of Education. I'm a huge proponent of elected leaders being held accountable. I think as mayor, that's, people ask me all the time when it comes to, you know, police oversight or a government official oversight, or a city employee oversight. And my response to them is always, hold me accountable. They work for me. And I think that is what parents are always searching for when it comes to schools, is who are you holding accountable? You're going to hold your school board member. He or she is one of 8 or 9 people. You're going to hold that person accountable for the fact that your local school's failing, or that you don't like how the school that your kid goes to, how it's being run. There's a lack of accountability there, and that's the way New York State has it set up, at least in the city of Buffalo. I'm always open to any idea, whether it's mayoral control, which would be probably a very heavy lift for a registered conservative who wins the mayor's office as a Republican and a conservative, to go to Albany and say, give me mayoral control. But if I think that that is going to make sense, and that's the only way we can make the city of Buffalo public schools better, you bet I'll do it.
I am surprised, though, as I've learned more about this, that so on the school board is just 8 elected members. There's nobody, like, it would seem to me that there would have to be somebody from the city, since we're, like, because I agree, like, we have, like, there's a stake, like,
right,
we have a stake in this system, yes, that is first and foremost about educating kids, but also has all of these other tangential impacts,
absolutely,
on the city as a whole.
Absolutely, and the city largely has no voice in it, yeah, other than this check that gets paid every year. Mm-hmm. And as I said, it doesn't send a great message to say, hey, we're not going to give you this money, even though we're broke. We're broke as a city, and we're going to send you $70 million, which might be the difference in our budget deficit, by the way. Mm-hmm. We're gonna send you this money, and we have no accountability in how it gets spent. That to me is a red flag. It's always been that way, to my knowledge, at least in my lifetime. And I'm open to making sure that the city has a greater say in how that money gets spent, to make sure that it's going to the things that parents expect it to go to, which is classroom expenditures, payment for teachers, resources in the school and in the classroom. That's what parents want. That's what they should want. And, you know, the idea that half of the money that they get goes elsewhere is an insult.
Mm-hmm. So I guess I think, you know, the, I guess at the, you've kind of answered my next question then would be, which was to sort of, how do you try and exercise some control over the system? And I guess it's through this sort of some leverage and some.
Yeah, I think it's also, it's not just, I hope it wouldn't just be, well, we're going to put strings attached to this money. I want a good relationship with them. I want to work with Buffalo Public Schools. I want to work with the superintendent. I want to work with the school board members, because our job should be the same. We want kids who, we want schools that are safe, that are high performing, and we want them to be so good that people leave Amherst and come to Buffalo to go to school. That should be the aim. That should be the goal. And if we're falling short of that, we need to figure out why and what we can do to make sure that we correct those mistakes, because we can't as a city afford to allow anybody that gets to, that reaches a certain wherewithal in terms of their financial outlook to, as soon as they're able to afford it, move or send their kids to private school. And right now that's kind of what it feels like. If you have enough money to move and move out of the city of Buffalo to a better school district, you do it. And if you have enough money where you can send your kids to private school, you do it. The people stuck in the middle feel like they're trapped. That's what I hear all over the city is, yep, as soon as we, if my kid didn't get to City Honors, or my kid didn't get into Olmsted, or my kid didn't go to North Park, we'd be gone. And that's terrible. That is nothing to be proud of. That is absolutely something we need to work at. And as mayor, I welcome the opportunity to work with the public school system to make sure that we turn that around, we turn that narrative around. It's and again, I know it sounds like I'm berating the public school system. I am incredibly aware of the I worked in the criminal justice system. Criminal justice system and the public school system are often the catch-alls for society's problems. I have nothing but empathy for the teachers who are dedicated to their craft, who go to work to try to improve, you know, educate young minds and are in it for the right reasons. And I want to make sure that we're giving them all the help that they need from the city's perspective, and also making sure that the people who are running the district are doing their jobs to give those people the support that they need. And if that means leaning on them a little bit as mayor, then I'll do that.
Well, James, thanks again for the conversation. And
always a pleasure.
Thanks.